5-8-104's fastest growing podcast. Fitz the Legend.
Here we go.
And the Loudmouth.
It's time. My God, did we just play that?
Yeah, we did.
Anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening in, socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. And
it's the Muppet Show.
It's the Muppet Show with Legend and Loudmouth. But and the reason we're playing that is if you saw the Monday night game tonight.
It's Monday Night Muppets.
It's Muppet Night Football.
Why?
So we just wanted you to know what the show would sound like if the Muppets opened up. I don't understand that, but well, I know exactly why they did it. It's because it's a big promotional thing with Disney and ESPN and everything. But
what, is there a new Muppet movie coming out?
No, I don't know what the story is. But in case you didn't hear it, this is the way Monday Night Football started tonight.
It's still dumb.
Just they got the Swedish Chef in at the end, which is why I needed to play that whole thing. I love it.
Anyway.
And you hear very highly underrated in the background animal doing ding dong ding. It was great. Anyway, this show's already gone off the rails, and we haven't even gotten to the actual games on the field. Granted, it kind of went as we expected this weekend, and we're gonna start off with college football this week because we've got a lot to get to. So let's hit the college theme. And not a lot of surprises. I think everything kind of went as expected. And we've got the four teams we figured were going to be in the playoff all along.
Right. I was hoping A&M would get in. But it's just, does this drive for an 18 playoff? Maybe. I think it should. But they'll get a team a chance in the group of five. But they'll just tell you the group of five teams schedule better than what you do.
But can they?
Yes, they can. It's called non-conference.
So they should give up they should go get their butts kicked for $500,000.
No, be the team you think you can beat. I'm not saying play like the bottom of the Big 12. No, play Kansas. But play,
no, Coastal's already doing that.
Right. Play like Baylor or Texas Tech. They're in the middle in there. Or play a team that was ranked in the top 25 last year.
By the way,
you could beat Colorado.
Colorado almost won the Pac-12. Right?
They were third in their division.
But they almost won it.
Right.
I mean, can't fault them for that, correct?
Right.
I mean, really?
Just play a top 25 school opening season. That'd have to be Alabama, but just like play some like Iowa State, maybe. You never know.
You do never know. But I think it's a problem of those. I mean, Alabama, not in their right, they're not going to put Coastal on their schedule. No way. Why risk it?
Why not?
Well, Coastal's a bad example because they're frauds. But, I mean, again, it's like...
Really?
It's the argument about, like, you know, Kansas scheduling NDSU ever again. Never going to happen. Never going to happen.
Why would... How do you know the white...
Minnesota will never schedule NDSU again.
No, but I don't know white before Coastal Carolina. It's Coastal
Not
Carolina.
According to Stuart Mandel and some other people. Oh, they're the greatest... You know, you've heard it all before.
Right.
Stupid. Anyway, so let's talk about, you know, where we are in the college football world here now. We'll get a little...
There you go.
a little background on for us there, but I'm disappointed in Notre Dame.
I'm not. I thought they played exactly like that.
I thought they would have given a little more. Well, and again, early on, they drive down and get the field goal, but then they miss the field goal.
Right.
And they can't get it in the end zone.
They picked Lawrence off. And went,
yeah. Everything was going their way. Absolutely. Everything was dead to rights going their way.
Right.
And they completely let it go. And they're lucky that they didn't let it get too far out of hand.
Right.
But I told you, as long as they didn't get beat 45-3, they would be in. They got beat.
They were headed that way. But
they got beat 34-10.
But if this would have been the same two teams that we had in the ACC Championship that we had back in South Bend, I think Clemson wins that game still. Yes, Notre Dame won the game the first time, but Clemson was depleted with injuries.
And as I told you, Notre Dame being affiliated with a conference hurt them this year. Why? Because if they would have not been in a conference title game, they would have been undefeated, 10-0, and ranked number 2. And they would have actually
Clemson would have been scheduled, though.
Because Clemson would have been scheduled. It would have been part of the scheduling.
But, no, if they weren't a part of the ACC.
But they're a But remember, Notre Dame's had that scheduling alliance now with the ACC for a while. This was just the first year they became part and eligible for the championship.
Right, but I just think...
So Notre Dame would have beaten Clemson, would have been number 2.
Okay.
And you know what? They probably would wind up... I wonder if they would have wound up playing Ohio State, who would have been the 3,
right,
and Clemson would have been the 4. And then you'd have Alabama-Clemson in the semis, which would have been really interesting.
With all the matchups, they wouldn't have that matchup. So
it would have been interesting to find out.
Right.
But as it is, the Irish are properly seated number 4.
But
and
the playoff has to be expanded. It has to be expanded because give the Group of 5 teams some sort of shot.
And again, we've talked about this before, about how we would want to see the playoff. So this year, let's use the Mark Hubbard system here that would have been in play. We'd have the conference champions of the major leagues, right?
Right.
So you'd have Alabama as the SEC champ. You'd have Oklahoma as the Big 12 champ.
Right.
You'd have Oregon,
right,
as the Pac-12 champ. You'd have Clemson as the ACC champ, okay? You'd have, and then we got to get the Big Ten championship goes to Ohio State. So there's your 5 powers, your power conferences. Notre Dame's good enough to get in this year,
right,
so they'd be the 6. They'd get in as a seed,
right,
and then you'd have to pick from the remaining conferences and really take your best 2 champions, or
Cincinnati,
or your best power schools. In this case, it's A&M.
And then your best
would be your 7.
And then your best Group of 5 team.
So do you go for the 5 conference champ, the 1 at large, and then the two Group of 5 champs to,
yes,
get their 7 and 8 seed?
Yeah.
Because that's what they'll be.
Right.
Okay. Right. So in this case, you're talking about Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Probably.
And then,
No. Based on the results I look at here, I mean, you could make a case for several other teams ahead of that. The head of the fraudulent Roosters, who would not deserve to be in this game anyway. Okay, I could make a better case for. Well, we've made the case for better teams on this show.
Right,
Florida, Georgia, etc., etc. I don't think you have to win a conference title to be in this playoff game.
No,
but that's what the Stuart Mandels of the world they want. They want equal access to the game. No. I don't believe in that. I'm sorry. I want the best 8 teams. Coastal Carolina is not one of the best 8 teams. I don't care if they win the league. If they win a dog shit league, should they get to play in that?
Nope.
Why doesn't San Jose get to play in it?
Right.
San Jose State won the Mountain West with a 7-0 record.
They beat Boise State.
And beat Boise State. They have a better power ranking than Coastal Carolina. Why isn't everybody complaining about San Jose State being in the championship game?
Because it's San Jose
State.
They've been relevant in 30 years. So.
If that, yeah. Let's just go through the conference title games quick, okay? UAB beats Marshall.
Yay.
UAB's pretty good.
Yeah.
They win. Oregon beats USC in a miserable game for USC again. And Oregon, boy, I tell you what, they absolutely don't look like anything to be scared of.
Nope.
But
they're in New Year's 6, so...
Ohio State. I want to talk about them for a minute.
Right.
That was a bad football game they played. They did not. I mean, except for Mr. Sermon, who preached his way to 300 and some whatever yards.
But Northwestern looked like they had the momentum for most of that game.
And they played good defense.
But here's the problem. They turned the ball over in key spots. Where it's like, they're going to go up two scores. They're going to win this game. And they just, a pick in the end zone, a fumble at the wrong time. It's just, they turned the ball over at bad points in the game. Which then led Ohio State to go off in that fourth quarter and just dominate the rest of the game and win that game. But it's just like, Northwestern, they're good. They're just not good enough. They're okay. They're just not a title contender.
Yeah, Northwestern's a good story. I mean, you're exactly right. They are not a bad football team, and that is, and they're going to play on a New Year's Day bowl. They're going to get Auburn, and that's going to be a good game to watch. But Northwestern, to me, just again, we said it on the show before. They just lack the athletes to compete. And again, that is not that is not a Reese Davis dig. That is not anything like that.
Right.
I'm just saying that the way that the game was played left them a lot of opportunities, and they couldn't capitalize.
I think they've had some stingy defensive players. I think they have a great defense, and they stopped Ohio State for most of that game. It's just like they just didn't. Their offense couldn't generate. They just couldn't generate any offense.
I think Pat Fitzgerald is a heck of
a
coach.
He's a great coach. Him and Matt Campbell are great coaches.
I think if those guys had the talent year in and year out that Nick Saban and some of those guys,
if anybody had those kinds of talent.
By the way, speaking of Ohio State, what did you see what Davos Sweeney
did? Yeah, they have an 11th in his coaches poll.
He ranked them below the Rooster Frauds. If I'm Ohio State, that's on every bulletin board, every campus television.
He doesn't think you belong in this playoff. I mean, you can't blame the six games on them. You blame their conference. You blame Michigan. Well, you blame Maryland. You blame Illinois.
I know. We're not talking about coronavirus and the impacts and the politics, but the Big 12 or Big 10 and the Pac-12 screwed this up. And I don't care. You can give me all the safety arguments you want and everything else. The SEC played all but one game this year.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And you can argue the long-term ramifications of COVID and all this other stuff you want to. Bottom line is that the Big Ten and the Pac-12, by dragging their feet, cost themselves. And the Pac-12...
The Pac-12
is an irrelevant, is bordering on an irrelevant football conference.
Right. I mean, really. But that conference depends on how good Oregon is and how good USC is. And both schools were decent this season. And the conference is decent this season.
USC was lucky to be in the position they were in. Oregon...
Let me ask Dabo a question. If Ohio State had played their full schedule, would you have in your top four? Because you can't blame their six-win season on... You can't blame it on them. You blame it on the Big Ten Conference. You blame it on Michigan. You blame it on Maryland. You blame it on Illinois. All the schools that didn't get to play because of COVID.
And they beat everybody on the schedule. I don't know what else you want them to do.
And they beat Indiana. It's the game they needed to win. They won it. Right. So you can't blame the Buckeyes for this. You blame I don't know who their conference commissioner is, but you blame him more.
Well, Big Ten, it's Kevin Warren. And the Pac-12, it's Larry Scott.
You're right.
And they both, I don't think, didn't do themselves any favors.
They both dropped the ball in terms of this one. If it's a certain amount of COVID cases, I get it. But Michigan should not have allowed them back out of that game. I'm not buying the COVID crap. That Michigan was just fine the week before. And they were just fine on Tuesday before they canceled that game. They should have played that game and stopped being scared and being beat by the Buckeyes again.
Right. Well, let's just... You okay over there?
Not my fault.
Get a little excited about talking about that?
Oh, sorry.
Let's go through. We will start picking the bowl games tonight, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But just in terms of the games coming up, and in case you hadn't heard, Alabama, the one seed, will play Notre Dame, the four. Alabama, by the way, with an absolute shootout in a 52-46 win over Florida.
That was fun.
Florida. God bless them. They kept that game as close as they could for as long as they could.
I think they're slowly becoming the new Oklahoma. They just can't stop anyone.
But they've got a great offense. True. Kyle Trask.
But doesn't that prove to you that Alabama, they can win a 52-45 game and they can win a 13-10 game? They can win it either way.
And I think you can win a game many ways, as Jerry Burns once said.
Squadron Fly.
Alabama opened as a 17.5-point favorite Notre Dame, and the Rose Bowl, air quotes, is going to be played in Arlington at Jerry World, while Clemson, Ohio State, is going to be the 2-3 matchup, and that will be at the Where is that game? The Sugar Bowl. It will be that game in New Orleans.
Again, I don't get it. The Rose Bowl should play it at the Rose Bowl. I don't get it. Why it's like, no, we can't play at the Rose Bowl. No!
That's a
no.
COVID. And then, of course, that's a COVID thing. So
no, I get it's a COVID thing, but, like, if all the players have been tested, the players and coaches have been tested, they're all negative.
Yeah.
So what's the worry? And the referees, everybody's negative, and you just space out. It's a 60,000 seat stadium. Space them out.
We'll have plenty of time to talk about the playoff games in a couple. Next week when we get through the Christmas holiday, and then start talking about the playoff. But your early read, Grant, Alabama versus Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. If you're looking at it right now, and I give you the right to change your pick later.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that I don't think Alabama gets challenged that much by Notre Dame.
I mean, I'm Bama by at least 20.
I'm a little... I'm uncertain on Clemson, Ohio State.
I like Ohio State. I think Ohio State can beat them. But my problem with Ohio State is they can't get out of the first round. It's just they can't get out of there. And they always face Clemson and get beat.
My problem with Ohio State was Justin Fields looking like a very average passer. And one of the things Notre Dame got away from that they couldn't do in this game that they did in the first, or did in this game as opposed to what they did in the opening win over Clemson, is they ran the ball.
Right.
If Trey Sermon has the kind of game that he did against
Northwestern,
that's going to be tough for Clemson to stop the run. But when you have the best quarterback in college football and the best running back in college football, Travis Etienne,
right.
Could be. Now, I'm going to say Alabama wins easy.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not picking against Clemson.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State covered, but the line is 6.5. I bet that number moves down.
I love my Buckeyes, as you know, but just Clemson just looks like the better team right now. I want Ohio State to win, but if as a betting man, I think Clemson would be the team.
And honestly, if Alabama is watching this, Alabama watched Notre Dame hang 40 on Clemson earlier in the year. I think Alabama this year is the more talented offense.
I didn't think they'd be as good. I didn't think they'd be as good as they were, but they proved that wrong.
But I don't think Clemson's as good as they were previously either, and so I think this is going to be an Alabama national title, but that remains to be seen.
Right. I hope Ohio State gets it. I mean, they've been left on the doorstep in the first round almost every time since they've won in 2014. Since they won the first one. They've just been stopped at the doorstep year after year after year. It's just, at some point, they're going to break through and get back to the title game. They might get stomped in the title game, at least they'll get there again.
Yeah, and so that leads us into, it's bowl season.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And so we go to the bowl games. So let's go through the list of the major ones. We're going to pick every bowl game, blowing up. We're going to go through every game and just kind of give you an idea what we're looking at here. First of all, the important ones. We already talked about Rose Bowl, Cotton Bowl is actually Oklahoma against Florida.
Right.
That'll be a good one.
But we'll just call it the Cotton Bowl.
Right. Peach Bowl is Cincinnati, your boys, against Georgia.
Yeah.
Georgia's going to pound them.
That'd be a good one.
We'll see.
Cincinnati got great defense.
Fiesta Bowl, January 2nd. These are the ESPN games, by the way, at the State Farm Stadium.
Well, most of them are.
Oregon, Pac-12 champ, against the Iowa State, who was the Big 12 runner-up. So that's that game. The Orange Bowl, Texas A&M draws North Carolina. Not an easy game for A&M.
Not saying
But that'll be a fun one to watch. And then, just to give you an idea of the other major games on the schedule, the New Year's Day Bowl is Auburn and Northwestern. That's the Citrus. The Gator Bowl, North Carolina State's going to play Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Interesting game in the Outback. That's Ole Miss against Indiana. That'll be a fun one to watch.
Why is Indiana in the Outback Bowl?
Well, that's usually where the Big Ten top-tier team gets picked to there. So.
Yeah, but people are complaining, like, why are they playing Ole Miss? Like, could they play anybody else in another bowl game? Is anybody else ranked?
Well, remember, there's been a lot of teams that have been opting out this year.
Right.
And that's part of the reason that some of these bowl game mismatches are a little weird.
I'm just saying, Pittsburgh has a 4th and 10, and this might be bowl game if they don't get it.
Yeah, they're having a rough night. Let me run through the rest of the games quick, and we'll pick some of them here before we go, just to give you some idea who's playing where. We know that on Tulsa is going to play Mississippi State in the Armed Forces Bowl. Ball State, the MAC champs, against our boys from San Jose. Army did get into a bowl game, yeah. And I'm happy that 9-2. You know, I love the service academies. Against West Virginia, and they're going to play that in the Liberty Bowl. All right. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. Right. I'm looking forward to it. Arkansas, TCU in the Texas Bowl. That should be good.
Right.
A couple other games just of note. Iowa, Missouri in the Music City Bowl.
Is Texas in a bowl game?
I believe they opted out. I don't see them here. I'm sorry. Texas, they're in the Alamo Bowl.
Again.
Yeah, well, of course they're in the Alamo Bowl because, you know, why wouldn't they be in the Alamo Bowl? Right? I mean, doesn't that totally make sense?
They were there last year. I mean, they were just there.
Well, but yeah, I mean, they may as well play it again. Right. So, I mean, that's okay, isn't it? Right. I mean, I think
there's nothing wrong with it if they're there again. So,
well,
it's okay.
But, you know, most importantly, you know where they're playing it, don't you? You know where they play the, Alamo Bowl. In San Antonio. Sorry. I had to get that one in. So they'll play in San Antonio, and that should be fun. And they're going to be playing Colorado also, because we talked about them earlier. The Duke's Mayo Bowl, so many jokes to go from there, but we'll get to that later. Wake Forest in Wisconsin. The Cheez-It Bowl, sound engineer Ben's favorite game. Is Oklahoma State against the U. That should be entertaining. And I'll get to the... Well, we may as well get to it now because I need to talk, of course, for just a minute about... We'll stop the music because this is a serious topic, all right? The frauds from the Roosterville, the Chanticleers, couldn't even play the Sun Belt Championship game because of their COVID-infested team that they had.
Right.
So they don't get to play. Instead... The team they were supposed to play on College Game Day, Liberty, is going to play them in the Cure Bowl.
The Cure Bowl?
The Cure Bowl. C-U-R-E. Yeah, the Cure Bowl.
The Cure Bowl.
So,
how do you say cure?
Cure.
It's cure.
Like I cured the common cold, I cured COVID.
It's cure.
Anyway, they're playing Liberty. Oh, fan the flames of Liberty, baby.
Fourth ball game. Hold on.
We're going to listen to Liberty. So, I know there's not a lot to like about Liberty because of the Jerry Falwell thing and all this. But, again, Liberty, 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 the spirit of the mountain. Fan the flames of Liberty, win a victory for LU. Thank you very much. There we go. I like when they have the chants in the song.
Like Liberty Flames. That's a great name.
The Flames. And, of course, the fight song is called Fan the Flames.
Right.
I mean, can't beat that.
That's
so,
a great name.
Anyway, let's go Liberty. I will, again, buy the Liberty t-shirt. Well, maybe not that. I don't know. I don't really like that.
Fourth and ball game for Pittsburgh.
How are we doing here?
Fourth and 10 on their own 24.
Their own 24. And they're down by, what, two scores?
They're down one. 24-17.
All right. Give us the play-by-play.
Okay. Roethlisberger and shotgun. Benny Snell left. Snap back, hit as he throws, and it's high, and the Bengals will win.
Oh, my goodness. The Cincinnati Bungles with Ryan Finley
are going to win at home again.
Are going to basically hand the AFC to Kansas City.
They did like snap back.
That was a classic Colhane right there.
Snap back, Benny Snell was left.
So Pittsburgh and Buffalo are now tied at 11-3. Tiebreaker, I think, goes to Buffalo, does it not? Oh, boy, this is getting worse and worse.
And also... Forget to mention, Cleveland-Pittsburgh, week 17, in Cleveland.
We are,
I think it's in Pittsburgh, never mind, in Pittsburgh.
Wow, okay.
Division, we might be on the line, week 17. And also, the Steelers could have clinched tonight.
Well, that's obviously not going to happen.
And they can't.
Well, as we said, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and that means it's bowl predictions. Now, last year we played for the Bowl of Mike and Ike's. And the legend and the loudmouth first annual bowl challenge.
You got me
last. So the bowl challenge went to me, so I proudly ate the Mike and Ike's. I do believe we had some fun with this last year with all the different bowl games, so we're going to do it again this year. This year, however,
Is this running off on the Sun Bowl?
Yeah, we are playing this year, however, for the Sour Patch Kids mix.
Our
second favorite box candy, but now we have the.
Also, it's half. Also, we actually have the boxes.
In the studio, we have the Legends mix up there. So
thank you, Santa.
Yeah, so we're going to have the now we're going to move on to the second year, and of course we pick all these games against the spread. We'll pick every set of games that we have going into that game, and I of course will provide a little background and entertainment for the various bowl games we have right here. We started actually today already, and because we didn't know these games were going to be scheduled at these times because of COVID and whatnot, we had the Appalachian State versus North Texas game in the Myrtle Beach Bowl in COVID-infested Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Where they didn't change anything on the field for right. that game.
It looked exactly the same as it normally does. And apparently Appalachian State jumped into the body of Coastal Carolina for this game.
Right.
And absolutely pounded North Texas today.
Yeah.
A game that wasn't even remotely close. It was honestly in the mid-50s by the time I even turned it on.
Yeah.
56-28 Appalachian wins, so they cover. So we are giving each other that game because we would have picked Appalachian right. State anyway.
I'm not trusting North Texas.
So we're done with the Mean Green, however. Yeah. A very good name for that.
Quick trivia, what were they called before the Mean Green?
I don't know.
The Eagles.
That's boring. Mean Green's better. I actually had a...
Why are they named the Mean Green?
Joe Green.
Correct.
Okay. Mean Joe.
Because he went to North Texas.
One of my favorite Madden players. All right. We start with the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Not to be confused with its predecessor, the Humanitarian Bowl, or the MPC Computers Bowl. The game, however...
It's a great name.
And it really is. At Albertson Stadium, which
is home of the Boise State Broncos.
Home of Boise State. Sponsored previously by the Humanitarian Bowl Association, Crucial Technology, MPC Computers, and one of the best names I've ever heard for a sponsor, the Roadies Truck Stops. That's good stuff right there. So you can't make this up
anyway. You can't.
As you go with the Roadies Truck Stops famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
Wow. Also now sponsored by the Idaho Potato Commission, which makes right. complete sense. Last year in a spine tingler, it was Nevada versus Idaho, which Ohio won. Nevada versus Ohio, not Idaho.
But
Nevada has come back for revenge this year against Tulane.
Nevada and Tulane.
Nevada sitting at 6-2. Tulane at 6-5. Tulane is a 3-point favorite, and Sagarin says that they are about a 5-point favorite in this one, Grant.
Tulane
and Nevada on this one. Who do you like in our first matchup here between Tulane and Nevada in our opener? Okay.
Tulane and Nevada. Colin Kaepernick or school that hasn't
been... Wait.
Or school hasn't been relevant in 20 years. That's tough.
By the way, this is not the first time Nevada has been in this game. In fact, fun fact, Nevada has come to this game 3 times and lost every time. In fact, every time they've lost, the game has had a different name. They lost it when it was the MPC Computers Bowl. They lost it when it was the Humanitarian Bowl. And they've lost it when it's been that famous Idaho Potato Bowl. It's destiny. Anyway.
They ain't winning this one.
They ain't winning this one either?
I'll take Tulane.
We're going Tulane?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tulane's the favorite here.
The one in doubt, pick what the spread says.
We'll take Tulane, and actually they should win it by more according to this. So, Legend and the Loudmouth both on Tulane to win the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. All right. We move on now to the... This is a sad moment for me, Grant, because this used to be one of our favorite games. This used to be the Cherry Bundy
Boca Raton. Where we tried the cherry juice live on air.
We did, and it was
actually pretty good.
And you liked it?
I liked it.
Unfortunately...
Austin Seibert signed up for the game, by the way.
I thought the game was over.
It's not over yet. There's 16 seconds left, and then they go up by 10 if he makes this.
So Austin Seibert is kicking the field goal?
Yeah, because Fatboy Bullock's out tonight.
Oh, okay. That's a shame.
And the kick is good.
Oh, and the Bengals will win it.
Wow. 12 seconds left. The game is over.
Amazing. All right. So, unfortunately, the Cherry Bundy Boca Raton Bowl is no more.
They go bankrupt or they...
No, they just went to a new title sponsor, and okay. That is going to be apparently the Christmas music. I can't keep resetting Andy Williams here for a while. I'm here to tell you that it has unfortunately now become the roofclaim.com Boca Raton Bowl.
Horrible.
It is a horrible... really it is, and I don't know what to tell you. I'm eternally disappointed. that the game has gone that way.
Yeah.
But with that being said, we must soldier on. So it's the Roof Claim Bowl. And in this matchup, we have this isn't a bad game when you look at it.
Yeah.
We got the 16th ranked team in the Sagan ratings, BYU, the Frauds, and they are going up against the the 2017 national champs, the University of Central Florida.
Oh, BYU. I'll take the Cougars.
So UCF coming in. This is actually one of the higher ranked games of the week. BYU is a 7-point favorite according to Vegas. They're about a 4-point favorite on the.
I'll take the Cougars.
You think BYU
I'll take the Cougars.
Okay, I agree. I think even as fraudulent as BYU was, I think UCF on my fraud scale, BYU is up there. Right. UCF is higher of a fraud because they misrepresent themselves so much.
No, but they're not. They're not as good anymore. BYU and Coastal, I've got above them.
Well, so we're both on BYU in this one?
Right.
Okay. By the way, just some fun facts about here about the roof is on fire game here. There's really not a lot of history in this game by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, Florida Atlantic is the only team to have won it twice. This is BYU's first trip here.
Well, isn't FAU's home stadium?
FAU's home stadium.
And the game is over. All the Rebels win.
This actually was started by the sporting goods company Marmol. I don't even know what.
Marmol.
They were. Apparently they're in like the Gore-Tex thing. Whatever.
What you're talking about.
You know, like a bag or like sleeping bags and stuff like that. Who cares?
No idea.
So apparently it's not going to be. SMU was in this game last year, by the way.
Yay!
I didn't know if you knew that or not. So we are going to be both on the less fraudulent BYU team then in this one.
Right.
We go to the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl.
This sponsorship never changed in this game.
Well, I hate to tell you, but it has.
It has, but it's been a while.
It used to be Wyndham Resorts used to sponsor this game, the Wyndham Hotel chain.
Right.
They used to sponsor this. Because R&L Carriers has been around in this for, right though, 2006, that's a long time to be.
For one bowl game, that's a long time.
Which is interesting because they're a freight shipping company based in Ohio, but yet they sponsor a game in New Orleans.
Right. But really, a game in Ohio, so what else can you get? Yeah, this is what was the play game at First Energy Stadium.
Last year, Appalachian State won this game over UAB. Now we have in this matchup, we've got the. Another former FCS refugee, the Georgia Southern team, coming in at 7-5 and a 6-point favorite over Louisiana Tech at 5-4.
Ooh, that's a good one.
The La Tech is a 6-point underdog to Georgia Southern. Sagarin says it's a 4-point favorite for Georgia Southern. So, Grant, we've got a Sun Belt matchup here, and we've got Louisiana Tech, who's in the Conference USA. What do you think in this one?
I like the underdog here.
You like?
I like Louisiana Tech.
You like Tech and minus the or plus the six?
I'd rather take them. I'm getting points. It's Georgia Southern, and I've seen Georgia Southern a lot. And the option, I don't like the option.
Well, I know you don't like the option.
I don't like the triple option. I like the read option, not the triple option. Because you can figure that out more. I'm like, you know what? Pick them
though. I'll
take Louisiana Tech.
You take Louisiana Tech, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not probably as sold on them as much as you are.
Well, we have to differ at some point.
Yeah, and I think we're gonna differ here. I'll take Georgia Southern. I'll take the FCS Pride right there, and I'll take Georgia Southern.
Come on. They're an FCS rival. Come on.
I'll take the Georgia Southern boys. What the heck? They're favored. I'll take them by the 6 points. I'll take Georgia Southern on this one. And go with that. No problem. I believe in the Georgia Southern. I believe in the old school. And I know they're a different team than they used to be, but hey, they're a fun team to watch, and they're in the Sun Belt.
Drew Ruggles.
You can't beat Drew Ruggles. I mean,
this will be a 50-yard attempt.
Blocked. Well, moving on, we're going to go to the... we're going to go to a game that actually... It's the debut edition, believe it or not, of this one. At the Crampton Bowl.
Where is this?
This is in...
Somewhere in the southeast.
It's in the southeast. Yeah. It's in Montgomery. And you know why, Grant? Right. Do you know why it's in Montgomery? I'll tell you why.
Because it's midnight in Montgomery.
got it, baby. Al Jackson.
Yes, he.
With the wheel. Yeah.
See the stars.
Now, they're going to be the only people watching the stars at midnight in Montgomery in that game.
Because it's Montgomery.
Because it's midnight in Montgomery. And unfortunately, this game doesn't look like much of one. Memphis will be the first team in this game. I know. And no, it is not going to be a great matchup because they're playing the aforementioned Florida Atlantic, who we talked about before.
Can we just stop there and take Memphis? And
Why?
I mean, it's just like, are you picking Memphis? Because I am.
Well, I...
it's Florida Atlantic.
Can I just talk enough to get the... walking in Memphis. That's the theme here. So.
Okay.
I needed enough time to get that in there. So we'll talk about that. Memphis 9.5-point favorite. That's actually about exactly what they are in the Sagarin rank. So Grant, who do you like here between Memphis and Florida Atlantic?
Memphis.
For sure.
Memphis. Also, Bo Pelini will not return as the LSU defensive coordinator.
Big shock there.
Yeah.
All right. Enough Mark Cohen walking in Memphis here. So we're going to be both on Memphis. I like Memphis, too.
Yeah,
Florida Atlantic looks terrible, just from what I've seen.
That can be a bowl game. It's more so.
Well, anybody can make a bowl game these days. And we may be on the air by the time this goes on Christmas Eve, but let's pick it anyway, and I don't think it'll be much of a difficulty. We have the game that is the New Mexico Bowl. Now, the New Mexico Bowl is a tie-in game with Conference USA and Mountain West, and... Of course, this being COVID, it would make perfect sense that the New Mexico Bowl is going to be played in an alternate site.
If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot.
We should be playing this song this time of year anyway.
Right. So long enough that both are faint in love and let's all dance. If you're going to play in Texas, you got to have a fiddle in the band.
So the New Mexico Bowl, of course, will be played in Frisco, a place we know well.
Right.
And a year ago, that's because this happened.
The Bison continue their longest winning streak in FCS history. They're going to the championship game for the eighth time in the last 9 years.
So that's what happened this day, exactly 1 year ago today. The last home game that we've all had a chance to be in. The Bison beat Montana State.
42-14, which I call on this very show.
You did. And so we heard this song, and...
In like the middle of the fourth quarter of the game wasn't decided.
And unfortunately now that all ties back into bowl season, which Hawaii at 4-4...
Why are they playing the Hawaii Bowl?
And they are 13-point underdogs to the Houston Cougars.
Yeah, they're going to take the Cougars.
Yeah, but minus 13 there. 71-62, Sagarin says here. So that's a 9-point favorite. Houston 13. I'll take Houston
too.
I don't think that's much of it. So officially, we're going to differ on one game. So it'll be the R&L Carriers Bowl that will be the opening difference between us right now in the in what's going on here. So more to come on bowl season. We'll have plenty of time to break all that down as we go. But that's kind of where we are in the bowl scenario, the Craig Bowl, if you will,
right?
From that standpoint. So, we've managed to cover most of the college football.
Are you not going to quiz me?
Well, no. We've got to get through other things first. What? All right. You really want to do that part of it?
Yes.
Okay. All right. It's time for Legend and Loudmouth trivia. Grant, since we're speaking of Frisco,
right?
There have been one... two, three, four men that have called NDSU's national championship wins on television. Can you name the four play-by-play broadcasters that called Bison national title victories in the last decade?
Okay.
There are four individuals.
Okay. Got it.
I will tell you.
I got it.
Okay, you got it. Let's go. Here
Dave,
we go.
Dave,
and you don't have to give me in chronological order.
No,
but
Dave Neal
has called three, the two Sam Houston games and the first JMU, the game that we were at. He has done it.
Anish.
All right. Anish Shroff is the second one. He called Towson, Illinois State, and Jacksonville.
Taylor Zarzer
called the EW game with Eastern Washington.
And Mark Jones.
That's correct. Second part of the quiz. Now that you've gotten the play-by-play guys, can you name, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different analysts that have called Bison national title victories. There's only one man who's done it twice.
Kelly Stauffer.
And you, that's correct. Can you name the other six?
Kelly Stauffer.
Yep.
David Diaz Infante.
David Diaz Infante called the Sam Houston game. First one.
Jay Walker.
Jay Walker called the second one.
Okay, then Stauffer.
Yep. Stauffer called Towson, Illinois, and Illinois State.
Ahmad Brooks.
Ahmad Brooks called Jacksonville State.
Okay. Stinchcomb.
Stinchcomb called JMU with Dave Neal.
He did that one twice. He did it twice.
I'm sorry, you're right. He did do it twice.
And
he did.
And Dusty the Warjack.
And Dusty, very nice. Now, for the real bonus points, this is going to be the tough one. Can you name the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sideline reporters from each game?
Okay.
All right.
Allison Williams.
Allison Williams did first Sam Houston game.
Kara Capuano.
Kara Capuano did 3 in a row. Sam Houston, Towson, and Illinois State.
Quint Kesnick
did 2.
How many other 5?
You got 2 left to get. And they're both females.
Chris Budden.
Chris Budden, who I believe was pregnant at the time she did the game.
And Olivia Harlan Decker.
And Olivia Harlan Decker, indeed. Wow. Now, for the complete ultimate bonus.
Oh, boy.
Can you name the MVP of each of these games?
Oh, boy. Oh, that's a tougher one.
That actually might be a tougher question. Okay.
So, for each game.
For each game. So, you can go in any order you want to.
Okay, I'll go year by year. 2011, Travis Beck.
Correct.
And the next two were Brock.
Yep.
Carson.
Yes.
Carson again.
Carson again, right.
2017. Is that where I'm at?
You are, yes. So, after the two Wentz games, that's right.
Stick.
Stick is correct.
Shepard.
Shepard is correct.
And then Trey Lance.
Wow. 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 That is impressive. We gotta give you that one. Wow. Nailed it. I wouldn't have been able to get half of those right. I certainly wouldn't have gotten the sideline people, but wow. So that just proves how much your grades need to improve. But anyway, Dave Neal to Trey Lance, all the way. You got them all right. So congratulations. A little trip down memory lane here. As we get into January, we'll talk about some more of these famous national title ones. Actually, our show will be on. The reason I wrote these all out, by the way, because you were asking about it,
mm-hmm.
was we'll have a couple of shows that line up exactly with those anniversary dates. So we'll do some Bison Classics of our own, talking about some national title games. From those eras as we go forward. But we need to move on. And even if our local team isn't going to be, or even if our favorite team isn't going to be involved, we still have to talk about the National Football League. Vikings defense is terrible.
But there's a reason for that.
Yeah, they got a bunch of guys hurt and out.
But, I mean, like, almost the whole defensive line is injured. Barr is out. Eric Wilson's banged up. Kendrick is out. Our safety, I mean, only consistent guys are Harrison Smith and Anthony Harris. And our entire secondary is getting banged up at once. So I'm like, what else can we do? It's just Zimmer's playing with what he's been dealt. And he's trying to do what he can. They just couldn't stop Chicago.
The Vikings let the 28th ranked offense in the NFL carve them up like a Christmas ham.
Mike, the Bears finally found an offense.
They didn't.
Yeah, they did.
The Vikes defense let them. They had the backside run open all day. They couldn't tackle David Montgomery, who, and I think Montgomery's a fine back, but he shouldn't have gotten anywhere close to the yardage that he did. That was horrible. Their tackling was horrible. And even with the interception in the end zone when Trubisky, of course, turned it over, they still can't do anything with it because Kirk Cousins can't get a block to save his life.
The clock goes off in your head to throw the ball. Throw
his is broken like yours at school.
Right. Throw the damn thing away. Throw it away.
And it drives me nuts is that the Viking pass patterns, everything is such a labor to complete where everything every other team's looks so easy to complete square in the 9 yard, the 13 yard intermediate.
But I think Kirk's have a liability because he needs play action for things to open up.
Horrible.
It helps at times, but it hurts you most of the time too. It's just Kubiak's offense. It's play action based, and it's just like
yeah.
With Kirk, it's you live by Kirk, you die by Kirk. You live and die by the play action. I mean, but the Vikings offense, it's not one-dimensional, but it's one-dimensional. It's run it with Dalvin or run the play action. They can't run a straight-up pass pattern. You can't just have Kirk and shotgun with nobody else in the backfield and just run four wide. Just can't do it. And maybe you need another quarterback.
The whole offensive line is dog
shit. Rick, if you're listening to the show, lose these last couple games. Yes, lose to the Lions and get in top 15 and draft a damn quarterback. Specifically, Trey Lance, please.
That's probably the last meaningful Vikings conversation we'll have on the show.
Because they ain't winning on Thursday.
No.
So.
Well, that's right. As I pointed out to you before, it is not on Thursday. They will not win on Thursday, correct. They will.
They won't win on Friday.
So, spoiler alert.
I see Christmas Eve as Christmas either way, so sorry.
Spoiler alert, I don't think we're going to be picking the Vikes. Let's go back to Thursday night. Chargers beat the Raiders on that. I was in by Justin Herbert, right?
Like a six-year-old kid. I was in, Mom!
Pretty much should take care of the playoff hopes of the Raiders.
Although, the Raiders are still mathematically in it.
Well, they're mathematically in it like the Vikings are still mathematically in it, which neither of which case is going to be. I think over time, the Raiders will prove to be better, but this was a big win for Justin Herbert and the Chargers because they're trying to save Anthony Lynn's job, and I don't know how successful that's going to be. But the Chargers, to me, again, they look like that team that just... God, what happened? Why couldn't they be better than that?
The Raiders, I think, need another draft. The Chargers have a... The Chargers... I don't know what the hell's wrong with the Chargers, because the Chargers, they got a lot of talent on that team. They just can't close games out.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, if they had this fade that worked here, and this defensive stop here, and this field goal here, they may be 500. But, again, I ask this every week. Is Herbert the rookie of the year?
Probably.
Here's what I was going to say to that. Did the rookies continue to make the Pro Bowl? Yes. Justin Jefferson made the Pro Bowl a rookie.
Yeah, we'll get to the Pro Bowl. We're not going to get into that Pro Bowl stuff tonight.
But. Yeah, but I'm just saying, the guy you're competing with made the Pro Bowl and you didn't. I get he's a quarterback, and the quarterback is and the AFC is loaded with good quarterbacks. But Justin Jefferson made the Pro Bowl with some of the best receivers in the game.
Right.
So,
right. Speaking of best quarterback in the game, I think Josh Allen's got to be on that list.
Yep.
Now. Saturday miserable game for the Broncos.
Did not
pounded. 48-19, the Bills win that one. The Bills now, and well, again, as we mentioned a few minutes ago, the Bengals completed the upset of the Steelers, which means Buffalo now
is the 2 seed.
Are they officially the 2 seed?
Yep.
Buffalo, again, I just don't know sometimes whether I'm totally on board with them.
I'm not.
You're not.
No, I just don't think they can score enough points.
Why do you...
No, with Kansas City.
With
a team like New Orleans, who we thought would be a bad matchup for them, they still scored over 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
You have to outscore them to win. The Raiders have to score 40 points to beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
You can't slow
them. And of course, Buffalo is ahead on the tiebreaker because they beat Pittsburgh. I just couldn't think about that.
I can't believe on anybody until you can prove that you can outscore Kansas City. Because Kansas City defense is good enough to get you beat. If they just get a couple stops, the game's over. Because Kansas City is going to score on almost every possession.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the game they lost to the Raiders, they only lost by 8 points. And the Raiders had to score 40 points and run the ball to win.
So if I read this right, then the only way the Chiefs now cannot be the number one seed is if Pittsburgh somehow comes back to tie them at 13-3. Not happening. Because Casey has the win over Buffalo earlier this year. And... Boy, if I'm the Chiefs, I am in charge, baby. 13-1, and let's just get to them. I'm going to go a little out of order here, but the Chiefs beat the Saints in the biggest game of the weekend, and they didn't win it impressively.
But the Saints, God, that was just bad.
Yeah, Chiefs win 32-29. The Saints, for a team playing for the number one seed in the NFC, and
they didn't play like it.
And they made, and I get it, two reasons why. One, Drew Brees coming back, you know. Not ideal. He doesn't have Michael Thomas now. He's going to be out for at least the rest of the season.
They weren't using him enough anyways. So he's a crucial part of the offense, but he's not that crucial.
And Taysom Hill, it's a different...
Shocker, he scored a touchdown.
Yeah, it's a different offense, though, with him at quarterback than it is with Brees. That might take a few games for them to get back. Certainly they'll have Friday to work over the Vikings. But Green Bay now is going to be in the driver's seat for the number one seed. So the Saints took the best team in the league, had them at home, and I never really felt like the Chiefs were in danger of losing.
He's getting Breeze retires after the season.
No, I think he's got one more. I think he's going to give it one more go. But
it just doesn't seem like.
At the same time, I think if I
Breeze, but his arm is just growing weaker and weaker and weaker. It's just like at some point you got to realize I'm not where I should be anymore.
If I'm Drew Breeze, I want one more season with Michael Thomas, Kamara, and all those guys healthy.
Here's the problem, though. They're going to be in salary cap hell after the season. They're going to have to blow the team up.
And the other problem they have, too, is I think their window is about shut.
It's shut.
And because
2018 was their best shot.
Because the Chiefs are so good, I don't think it's going to matter.
No.
Again, then the Chiefs versus the field debate, I'm on the Chiefs in every sense of the word. So,
but Breeze, it's a little better if Taysom's the quarterback.
I wouldn't go that far. But.
Well, I mean, the passing offense is better.
Saints have the number 2 defense in the league coming in, and the Chiefs hung 32 on them.
But they're hanging 32 on everybody. I mean,
They didn't on Buffalo.
Not on Buffalo, but they still beat Buffalo.
And they will, and that's your AFC title game again.
But it's in Kansas City, not Buffalo.
It's a whole different deal.
So,
back to Saturday night real quick. The Packers, speaking of them, we talked about that.
I hate the Saturday night BS.
Packers didn't look overly impressive.
But that's what the Packers are.
But they beat the Panthers. Panthers just don't have enough weapons. And without McCaffrey, they're just not the same team. They need more offensive weapons, and Teddy Bridgewater is not the long-term answer quarterback, but
he's going to have to be for a little while.
Well, maybe so, but he doesn't have any talent around him, and the Saints' loss combined with this Packer win, the Packers, for all practical purposes, are going to be the number one seed, and the road's going to go to Lambeau for the playoffs, and again, it's not as big an advantage as it normally would be. And even if it's cold.
Well, the bike's not there in one.
Right.
In frigid conditions, so I'm not buying that.
Sunday games, Bucks had to hold off the Falcons, or actually come from behind to beat the Falcons.
Well, it's Brady. I mean, he's going to beat Atlanta no matter what.
Atlanta just can't hold a lead. And the Bucks were 6-point favorites. They wound up not covering. I still look at the Bucks and I'm like, they just go through these inexplicable stretches where they just look like shit.
They have too many weapons. They have too many.
What are you gonna it doesn't work that way for them though. It feels like they don't have a weapons. No. It feels like they're just like this. You know how you work on that puzzle over the holidays with your family,
right?
And like the one piece you can't find, it's always causing you problems. You can't quite figure out where it fits.
Or the one guy doesn't do their part.
There's like this one section that pisses you off because you can't find the border. That's what Tampa Bay is. They're like a puzzle you're trying to figure out how to put together. And like Antonio Brown scored this long bomb touchdown. He was a non-factor against the Vikings. Your boy Cameron Brate comes in and gets a few catches. And they have Ronald Jones hurt. And it seems all a little off.
It seems like that great machine that's really good, but it sputters sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not a perpetual motion machine, but but they're somewhere in between that. It's just like they're not perfect, but they have so much talent.
Titans are kind of that way too. They go in and blast Detroit 46-25.
They are a perpetual motion machine.
They are. Derrick Henry is a beast, and Detroit, God bless them, they keep fighting, but they just don't have the horses. They just don't. That game against the Vikes, that will be for last place in the division, the way it's shaping up, and it's not going to matter. But Titans with Derrick Henry are going to be a factor in any game they play, and so I'm looking forward to seeing that. When that comes around.
Right.
Cowboys beat the 49ers 41-33. Whoa. The Cowboys are still alive.
No, they're not.
They're game out. I state facts.
They're not better than the Giants. They're not better than Washington. Sorry.
Well, we'll see. Because if it goes into that last week, it'll be interesting. But Cowboys hang 41 on the Niners, who, again, just are so banged up, and that clinches a losing season for a Super Bowl runner-up.
That's what happens.
It's pretty tough when you don't have all your key components. Nick Mullins is doing his best, but he just doesn't have it, and that's just it's not their year. It happens. Colts, not the greatest performance against the Texans, but they do win it.
What's a divisional game?
27-20.
It's a divisional game.
And Houston has gotten now to the point where they're competitive enough, but they just don't have
the
it to
Texans,
win.
They're wasting their time Watson's career. I think he should get out of there. I mean, they just need...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Then you hit the reset button. I know they hit it so many times, but it's just like, you need a new coach. Watson wants out. You can tell, because he's so God, he's so mad after games just because he's just burying his head in his hands. He's just so, because he did everything he could to win these games, he just can't do it by himself.
And you know what team is happiest tonight about Pittsburgh losing? The Colts, who are, see, if the playoffs started today, and they don't, the Colts would go to Pittsburgh. Ooh, I'm fine with Colts, so I'll take that matchup.
You know, but Colin would take
take
the Colts.
Yes, I would. So the Colts move to 10-4. Dolphins remain alive. They are the 7th seed right now.
They will stay there.
And will likely be after a 22-12 snorefest against the Patriots. Man, the Patriots just aren't even enjoyable to watch at all.
Well, they're boring to begin with Brady. Now they're more boring with Cam.
Well, they're even more boring because Cam can't throw the football properly.
Yeah, it's just... they're an option offense, and they're running zone read more than running the pass play.
And Tua does enough to win, but we all know that if Miami gets in, they're going to get slaughtered. But they'll make a – they just don't have enough points. If they wind up in a matchup with, like, Kansas City, it's
going
to be –
and Miami has to go to Buffalo.
Yeah.
And
that,
Miami does never –
that didn't go well.
Buffalo.
That's not going well.
Like the 90s, just doesn't work.
Well, I'm not – I don't think you have to go that far back.
Well, yeah, you do.
But I think Buffalo's offense is a juggernaut that they're going to have tough
juggernaut,
time shutting
juggernaut's
down.
A little much, but.
Speaking of teams that are not any longer a juggernaut, every week I watch the Seahawks, I get less impressed with them. And they are slogging through the NFC East here.
It was 20-15. It's just like...
And Washington has Dwayne Haskins, no Antonio Gibson, and they still
JD
manage...
JD McKissick
to,
is right. going off on you.
And they still manage to keep within a touchdown. I think Seattle is
going to be a mess.
Seattle is going to be a little bit of a fraud, but they might draw Tampa Bay in the first round.
I think the AFC is going to be pretty much chalk. But the NFC is going to be a mess.
Yeah, the NFC is going to be a bad
Any single team that qualifies for the playoffs can win the conference.
And remember, Washington, despite the loss, still in first place.
Right, because of the Giants'
in the NFC
loss.
East. Because the Giants stumbled on Sunday Night Football against the Browns 20-6. The Giants were never in this game for practical purposes. They got down and... You know, the play calling by Joe Judge, inexplicable down on the goal line. He throws it, goes to
fake
runs,
field goal.
Runs the fake, the old special teams
what
coach.
What are you doing?
Runs the fake field goal.
This is not Detroit, man. This is a division.
Passes up field goal attempts. Not that the Browns exactly lit it up. Baker Mayfield's legs probably won this game more than anything else. And the Browns clinch a 10-win season, which is pretty impressive for them. But the Giants are still... You know, still got that shot.
If they had Saquon and Daniel Jones, they'd be better than Washington.
Well, I don't know if Daniel Jones was, I don't know, but Wayne Gallman.
They got some matches.
Yeah, but they just didn't have enough. They don't have an explosive.
I mean, the resurgent Alfred Morris is carrying the football.
If the Giants could mount a credible, and God love Colt McCoy, I think he's just a classy professional quarterback, but he just doesn't have it.
No.
I mean, he's not going to win you go out and win you.
He hasn't had it since 2009 when he was at Texas. Right. So.
In
Texas.
We had a, I know we talked about the Steelers-Bengals game briefly here already, but what happens to the Steelers now? They've lost three in a row.
To the Bengals.
And they lost it. And this is the worst loss of the three.
But Washington, okay. Buffalo, I understand.
Yeah,
The Bengals on the road?
Without Joe Burrow?
Without Burrow? Ryan Finley beats you? I got some big questions about Pittsburgh.
And the only reason this isn't the worst loss of the entire season by a team is for this reason. This reason I'm about to play, and I didn't think I was going to play this year, but here we go.
Suck, suck, suck.
How the hell did the Jets beat the Rams?
It's like when Colin's favorite game. What the hell?
I mean,
in the hell did you go to SoFi and win? Tell me how you did that, Adam.
To me, this is everything wrong with the Rams summed up in a nice, neat little package.
I think it's also the fact that they overlooked the Jets. I mean, everyone's going to overlook the Jets, but I mean, you're playing through a division here. So you can lock up this division and lock Seattle out, and you still can't finish the damn job.
You just can't lose that game.
No,
you can't. And so the Jets will get off the schneid. More importantly, the Jaguars, who lost to the Ravens, as expected.
Rich Eisen went off on his show today because he's a loyal Jets fan. He lost it today.
So the Jags at 1-13 now control the Trevor Lawrence.
They just can't win. Don't win, and you're good.
And the Jets. Props to Adam Gates for winning, but that I think as much as the Jets won, the Rams lost that game, and that is a costly loss for the Rams.
But even think when you have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. One's going to beat your best center. One's going to beat your center. And the other one's going to beat your best corner, beat your best receiver. They still couldn't generate a pass rush. They couldn't stop Rashad Perryman or Jamison Crowder.
Or old-ass
Frank Gore.
Old-ass Frank Gore.
On the 3rd and 6 to close the game out, Frank Gore is waving his arms in the middle of the field. Like, hey, throw it to me. I'm wide open. There's nobody around. There's no linebacker in the area. That's a failure in defense, more than anything else. And the Rams have, what, a top 10 defense?
Yes, they had the...
Top 10 in both categories,
they had the
right?
Number one defense in the league.
Are
coming
you
in
kidding
in.
Me?
Number one defense
sure
in the league.
Didn't play like
the
it.
Number one offense in the... Or the number one defense in the league lost to the 32nd ranked offense.
How the hell does that happen?
Because that's the National Football League, in a nutshell. Can you believe... And that's one of the reasons I look at that stat. Number one defense in the league by yardage allowed, the Rams... Right. Lost to the 32nd ranked. They were 32nd in passing offense. I mean, honestly, that's a horrible loss for the Rams, which now drops them into a tie with Tampa Bay. Now, again, they beat them head to head, but now the Rams are in danger of slipping down, and they've still got Arizona on the schedule.
They will beat Arizona.
Well, we'll see.
They'll beat Arizona.
We'll see. Lastly, let's talk about Carson Wentz, now on the bench. The Cardinals, again, keep their playoff status, you know, intact with a 33-26 win. Jalen Hurts has a shot at the end, throws the Hail Mary to Goddard twice, and it doesn't get it. But
it's over for Carson and Philly.
I think we're there. I think it's going to be interesting to see where he winds up and what happens.
It's over.
If he decides to go elsewhere or what the situation
is. He won't be in Philly next year.
So. Disappointing, but and again, the Eagles technically not out of the playoff race.
No,
either.
I think the Colts could resurrect his career. But
we'll see.
Remember, it's not his fault. But everyone's still going to blame it on him anyways, because now Ellis Jalen Hurts is all of a sudden leading them to wins. I don't know if it's because defenses haven't seen Jalen Hurts and they've seen more of Carson. But it's just like, can you blame the battle line on his fault? Is that his fault? Can you blame the horrible pass catches on his fault? I know it's a quarterback you can lead, but you can't blame everything on a quarterback. What do people do anyways?
Well, Carson Wentz didn't get him down 16-0 early to Philly or to Arizona either.
Right.
That team's got a lot of problems.
If Carson sticks around next year, it's because Doug Peterson will either be fired.
Well, it'll be interesting to see.
I'm opening up the position again.
You got too much money invested.
Carson, can you win it back? If you can't, I'm starting Jalen Hurts. And then I'll probably have to trade you.
So that leads us to the let's take a look at where we are. So standings wise, again, it's going to get interesting now,
right?
Because with the loss from Pittsburgh tonight, so in the AFC, so Kansas City now up top at 13-1. Buffalo now moves to the 2 line at 11-3. Pittsburgh the 3 at 11-3. Then you've got Tennessee and Cleveland at 4-5. Indy at 6. And Miami 7. Baltimore now the 8 seed looking in. Vegas mathematically still alive, but
they won't be much longer.
So the playoff matchups, if the season ended today, and it doesn't, Chiefs would get the first round bye. You now have Miami at Buffalo, which we're going to see again here in a week or two. We're going to have Indy at Pittsburgh, as I mentioned, and then Cleveland at Tennessee, which I'd sign up for that game again because I don't think – I'd be surprised if Tennessee would let Cleveland play the same way they did before. In the NFC, now, of course, we have an interesting scenario with that loss by the Saints. The Packers now are in excellent position to, you know, claim the number one seed. And I'm not sure that that's going to happen this weekend because of the likelihood that the Saints are going to win. But if you look at that now, it's, again, the playoff pairings, if the season ended today, and it doesn't, Green Bay would get the bye. Arizona at New Orleans, interesting first-round game there. Tampa at Seattle, and then Rams at Washington.
That would be a good one.
You're right. This whole AFC or NFC is just a mess.
I mean, anybody in there can win the NFC. And seriously, any one of them. Even Washington can come out of the NFC.
Yep, it absolutely could happen. Hey, before we leave the show tonight, I want to give a quick shout-out. Because I think when we look back at 2020, we're going to have a lot of negatives.
The one silver lining was the NDSU women's basketball.
But let's give a hell of a lot of credit to Jory Collins and the women's team.
You've resurrected the women's basketball team. Woo!
A win today over Kansas. Yes, that Kansas.
Yes, not another Kansas.
And Kansas women's basketball is nowhere near the level of Kansas men's basketball. Let's make that very clear.
But it's still a Big 12 opponent.
But the Bison haven't beaten a major conference team in women's basketball in 14 years.
Who
Minnesota in 06.
Of course,
way to go, Jory. Way to go. Heaven Hamling, Ryan Cobbins, all names that probably a lot of people don't know,
They're relevant again.
But I'm actually, for the first time since they have been in this miserable era, I'm anxious to see how they play against a South Dakota or a South Dakota State. Because I think the Summit League will get really interesting, and yes, I did say that, if the Bison have a good women's basketball team. I think interest level around here, they've proven they can support it. They've just never had the recruits or the coach since Amy really left to do it. They've tried several approaches. It's never worked. And as much as I hate Mike McFeely, he's absolutely right what he tweeted out today. He said, Jory Collins, the Bison fans better be careful if a guy who's from the Kansas area beats Kansas at Kansas.
Right. It might not take long
for them to. Now, this coach that Kansas had has been there 5 years, and he stunk, it looks like, every year. So I don't know. They didn't look very athletic today against NDSU. The Bison looked like, from the few minutes I saw, the more athletic team, the more composed team, and certainly the more aggressive team in this game.
But Jory's building something. I mean, but you don't have any more excuses with the men's basketball team. You got the facility to do it, you got the coach to do it, you got the players to do it.
Yeah, and I think now you have all three, which I don't think you had with Marin there. You didn't have the coaching. You certainly didn't have the talent with what you had on the
floor. You had the facility, that's all you had.
But now you've got some recruits, and I think that goes a long way towards developing something that people are going to be interested in around here. And again, nothing against the Bison men. They go up against TCU tomorrow. Is it tomorrow night?
Yeah, tomorrow.
This isn't on
ESPNU.
Yeah.
So it is actually televised.
This isn't going to be their year to make a run.
No.
But they certainly have some potential.
This is a developmental year. Yeah. I think they just need a year.
And for this year, that's okay.
Yeah,
In fact, I think playing back-to-back nights in these Summit League pods that they're going to do, I think that's probably good for a team.
Yeah, they just need a year. I think this isn't their year. I know that. But next year, they will be really, really good. I think they can challenge again with South Dakota State.
Well, I like Griesel running the point,
right?
And I think that's going to be.
Is he only a junior now?
He's only a junior. Yeah, so I think that's going to be fun to watch.
You're going to lose Whitson Cruiser, but I can live without him. So
Cruiser's going to be a big loss because you do like that guy who can fight inside, then he can step out and take a big away from the basket.
Yeah, but the way Richmond recruits, I'm not worried about it. He'll find some big dude.
Yeah, I think he will.
That won't be a problem.
I think he will, but I'll be interested to see as, again, Griesel's development, I think, is a huge key because I think he can really, putting him at point guard and giving him that versatility, I think, is important for what he can do down the road. So, well, man, that was a lot to get through in an hour. You can get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website, legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows and why Coastal Carolina sucks. Grant, where do we find you?
Follow me on Snapchat @legend1. Follow me on TikTok @legend. Follow us on Instagram @legend_loudmouth_pod. It's @legend_loudmouth_pod. If you guys like to hate the show, we don't care. Please subscribe to YouTube channel.
What's my Instagram? mark.hubbard.908.
Nobody follows me.
That's not true. I have at least 40 followers on Instagram.
I have 125, so.
Oh, you and I are big social media mavens, aren't we?
I am. You are.
Yeah, whatever. Yes, Virginia, there will be a Christmas show. We will do a Christmas show on Christmas Eve so that you have something to do, whether you're traveling to fight with the relatives or to leave the relatives or not going anywhere over COVID. We will keep you entertained on Christmas Eve and we'll have a fun time doing it. Hey, we'll see you Christmas Eve. It's the Legend and the Loudmouth. Good night, everybody.